Now they smeared feces on it.
Well, it's advice too.
I am bewildered by the world.
Mouth. But anyway, okay. So who wants to start?
Okay, well I'll start out. First problem comes from Chloe. Chloe just got a Nintendo very recently, new acquisition, pre-Christmas acquisition, I suppose, and I guess it probably was given to her. I hope she hasn't confused the whole concept where she's buying presents for herself over Christmas.
Or it was given to someone else.
But, you know, if you don't know anybody else, or if you don't like anybody else, or the world really is full of rotten people. Well, anyway, Chloe's loving her Nintendo. Chloe's loving it a lot. And Chloe's playing it like 10 to 12 hours a day. And she's starting to develop sores on her bottom because...
on her bottom?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's the impression I got from playing Nintendo so much. What can Chloe do?
Get a tub, like an old wash basin, if you will. Get yourself a nice Epsom salt solution. Take your pants off, sit your, you know, sore-covered bum right in that Epsom salt solution, and then play away.
And then you can develop what we call... prune bottom, which is slightly better than bed sore bottom.
Pussy bottom.
Yeah. Or ginchy bottom. So
I get ginchy bottom a lot. I really do. Does anybody else get ginchy bottom? So you just walk.
We're talking about
like,
Chloe here.
My bottom's ginchy.
No.
Eric, people are in pain.
So, no,
especially Chloe
what
and speak. Her bottom.
Well, yeah, so. That's, you know, there's a really immediate basic angle that we can treat, and that is, you know, like Eric said, slipping the Epsom salts, or just, you know, change the position that you're playing the Nintendo in. Play while doing a handstand.
Yeah.
You know? Give you a whole new perspective on the puzzles you got to solve in the game, you know, challenge that hand-eye coordination that Nintendo is just so valuable for.
And you can also get these things at fantastic stores, such as the Sharper Image, that sell key important merchandise, and you can just... clasp these thingies on your ankles, and then you install a bar in your apartment, and you just hang upside down for
like
hours
a big
on
Nintendo
end.
Playing bat.
Yes, and you're not touching the floor. There's no sores involved.
Right.
Just, I mean, your ligaments and knees and things might get stretched a touch, but all the blood rushing to your brain will really probably help your gaming ability.
That's a good one.
Before blood starts to come out of your ears.
Well, look, it's like a fountain.
But then you can put that in the tub and, I don't know.
Alternately, you can just have the Nintendo installed directly into your brain stem. And then you can just play while walking around and doing other things.
I was also thinking you could hire a bunch of elves because right after Christmas, elves are going to be out of work. You know, this big rush between like October and December. And then, you know, after December 26th, they got nothing to do. They clean up for a little while. January 1st, you get huge discounts on elves. So I have a bunch of elves carry you around, carry your Nintendo, carry your TV. And that way you won't be stationary. You know, you can have the elves set you down every once in a while so you won't get sores in the handprints of elves on your bottom, which would be really even grosser. But cheap elf labor. That's elf labor.
I got
to say cheap elf labor. I think I saw that Nile 2 at Schnucks.
Word up.
You don't know, some nice buttered pasta with a little cheap elf flavor on it. It's good stuff.
There's also like slightly... you know, lower budget solution. Go to a cheap motel with a vibrating bed. Bring your Nintendo with. Plug it in. They got TVs there, right? They're chained down, but they're there. Pop some quarters into the bed, and the bed sores come from being stationary too long, so you'll be jiggling around plenty. Although it, you know, and it adds a whole new aspect to the game.
Right. It's almost like having a full body rumble pack.
Yes, it is. Woo! You could bring along a friend and be like, "You just punched me, pop in a quarter."
Yeah.
All right.
I think that's some good advice.
Okay.
So take that, Chloe.
Okay, what we got up next?
Well, a young gentleman called, sounding very distressed among those people who have not yet regained feeling from school. Apparently, the way his education system runs, he has things due after the Christmas break, which ends 2 weeks from now.
Oh, that is
obscene. I think it's called high school.
Yeah, it's called high school.
But we weren't going to make a big point of that.
They should stop calling it high school and start calling it obscene.
Yes.
Urbana obscene. Uni obscene.
No, did you like Urbana high school obscene? Because it's like, isn't Urbana high school? I don't know.
No, it's
not.
Two
highs.
So this...
just wanted to know.
Dude...
are there two highs?
Has, quote... 23 projects due.
Wow.
In subjects such as English and speech, and if he doesn't finish them, he will fail his classes. and he doesn't know what to do. He's stressing out. He's freaking. He's losing weight, losing sleep.
That's pretty tough.
And he's got 2 weeks, 23 projects. So,
what's his name?
23 projects.
He said we could refer to him as Sphere.
Okay, well, off the top, just a quick preventative measure that may cut this off at the head is 23 projects is a whole lot, given that the average college student takes 4 to 5 classes per semester. Some of them take 6. The average high school student has 7
6
classes?
Or 7, 7 right? If you're lucky.
Yeah. So given that it sounds like, 23, do the math. Sounds like you're doing 3 people's work. Check your back, see if there's anybody taped to you. And if there is, make them do their work. Because that's really not fair.
That isn't fair.
Yeah.
I was going to say, if they're all in English, or if a lot of them are in English, you could, you'd be surprised. What you can do. Turn in the same product for 4 or 5 of the projects. Change a word. That's always good.
And then same title up to the colon, then a different title. Okay. So, you call it Perspective and Shifting, colon, the novels of Jane Austen. Then Perspective and, you just, the colon thing, it's key.
Yeah, or you know what? Even put your colon on the paper.
Yeah.
Put your colon. That's a good way to say there was a medical emergency. Look, my colon is on this paper.
And if you go to one of those more liberal schools, you could make an artistic statement, such as just sneezing onto, say, a sheet of paper or a laptop,
whatever floats your boat.
Material is. And then just hand that in and be like, don't you understand? And if they say no, say it's discrimination. 23 times you got to do that, but I mean, still, you got 2 weeks.
For your speech projects, all of them, just walk in and talk.
Mm-hmm.
And say, look, I've mastered it. I can speak.
I can speak English really good.
Yes, like that.
Okay, 2 things. Since I run the technical side of What Jail's Like, while we also do the funny on the air, while we're doing the on-air stuff, I'm writing down the playlist, to submit to the record labels and answering any phone calls that come on in while we're on the air. So, first off, let me just say I'm kind of irritated with Paris, Texas. They don't name any of their songs, so I had to call this track we played track 10.
No, it's on the back. It's called Rotten Apples.
Oh, they do.
Paris, Texas, we apologize.
They're very, very small, though. And
say you're sorry to them.
I'm sorry, Paris, Texas, but
the CD should come with a magnifying glass.
I think it should be larger. And the other piece of information is we just got a phone call, a piece of clarification from a Carol who says that the Sphere is a lying bastard.
Oh!
Oh! So now we've got a brand new problem, Sphere.
Wow!
You're a lying bastard.
If only she told us where he lives. So, Sphere.
Is it lighting up?
You've been exposed.
Well, given the dictionary definition of a bastard, you could revise your existence to that being of a lying, well-adjusted family person by finding both of your parents, I suppose. Perhaps taping them to your back, thus warding off any accusations of being a lying bastard at any point.
And then they could probably just do the homework for you because they're your parents, and the guilt trip thing of being a bastard for so many years might work out for you.
Yeah, much ado about nothing. John the Bastard doesn't do too well.
That's right.
Wow, we just got a flood of phone calls coming in while we're on the air.
Sphere, I'm going to have to let you go. Okay? Bye.
So, let me just...
WFT, what jail's like?
You can sit down, Pete.
All right, I'll stay here.
And who is this?
Believe it or not, this is our secretary's week off.
Yeah, we were a little stingy on secretary's day, so...
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people think that's a pointless holiday, but... No,
the ball of lint didn't really make her happy. I guess
I put a lot of effort into that ball of lint.
That's the point of the show. So, yeah.
Ah.
Oh, thank
yeah.
You.
Well, anyway.
Okay.
Sphere.
What's your name?
Do your homework. Stop complaining.
What's the hot chick's name?
Sphere, yeah, do your homework. Farm it out to cheap elf labor. That's good. That may be out there if Chloe doesn't take advantage of it. And find these people who are calling you lying bastards. Farm some of the labor out to them.
Well, I just found out. Okay, he's not a lying bastard. He just called. Sphere was on the line there. Said maybe he was a little frantic. First he said Carol is a sick, sick, sick person. Carol, don't call. Wait until the musical break, Carol, to please call. And
we'll be back to that.
That she's a sick, sick, sick person who needs help and needs to be locked up. away from the world or something like that. But that he has, in actuality, has 9 speech projects due and an English paper to write up by the end of break. Which, now I can see. 23, that's kind of like... You can't even fathom 23 projects. You know, it's like, whatever. When you put, like, you actually say, I have 9 speech projects and a paper to write in 2 weeks.
Unless he calls up in 5 minutes. He's like, well, it was one, but it's like 9 pages.
And the English paper was like a page. No, but, anyway. But Sphere, you know what you need to do?
Get a new name. Right now.
Get a new name, first and foremost. Sphere, dumb.
Makes people think, you know, rotund, fat. I don't want to get into that.
We'll help you on those speech projects because, you know, you stand up before an audience and say, hi, I'm Sphere, and I'm here to talk to you about particle physics. And they're going to laugh at you.
So, Sphere, what you just need to do is relax. Take these one day at a time. Think about it, all right? 9 speech projects and a paper. That's 10 things to do. 2 weeks is 14 days. If you can get at least one done a day, you still have 4 free days over break. So you just need to relax. I know it looks like a heck of a lot of work, but just relax, take some deep breaths, try to tackle 1 or maybe even 2 a day if you can. Start out slow. Do 1. You know, and if you see that you can finish 1 and have a lot of time left over, do 2 the next day.
And given the nigh incomprehensible series of grunts and clicks that is your speech currently, I think you're going to be much happier after you get all this speech work done.
I think so, because you're weird.
Okay. Move on.
Okay, I got several. We're going to be here for a while. First was Brian. Brian called and said that his professor, he's currently looking into grad schools, and one of his professors has promised to write him some letters of reference, but hasn't as of yet. Now, Brian cannot leave town and pursue any of these things he wants to do until this professor writes the letters. Mm-hmm. What he needs to know is how can he force this professor to write these letters of recommendation without seeming like an ass?
Well, when you put the gun to his head, just wear a ski mask. Then he won't know it's you.
Or apologize profusely as you're doing. I'm really sorry I'm putting this gun to your head. Listen, write the letter.
Maybe you didn't understand that it was kind of urgent, so I'll blow your head off. Unless, I mean, we could...
Here's a magnum and a cookie.
Yeah, like, you could do it like that. Or, you could just get him to sign the letters that you write. Would work out.
I think the ski mask will help a lot if you want to avoid looking like an ass, because it'll pin down those giant donkey ears that you have. And if you can just, you know, wear baggy sweatpants or something to slip your tail into, that'll...
I think it'll be fine.
...go a long way.
This guy sounds like he's an ass, though, and maybe you need to... You know that old saying, fight ass with ass?
That's right.
Yes, I've heard that old saying.
It's from the Bible, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It was on a little mobile in my playpen.
It's like Hebadiah chapter... Book 4, chapter 2, verse 6.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's what you can do.
So, otherwise, what you need to do is forge some letters of reference, Brian. You know what you need. You know?
I am the greatest! I mean, he is. Sorry.
But don't type that. Also, you know what? This is America, and America was founded on one thing. Good old-fashioned blackmail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, does your professor have a penchant for small boys?
Or could you make it seem that he does?
Yes.
Photoshop, my friend.
Photoshop is your friend. Photoshop 5, layers, learn them, love them. Wow, that'd be phenomenal. Do that. Even if he agrees to write the letters, do that and send them.
Next week and tell us about it. Jimmy.
But or anything, you know, a drinking problem that you can exploit, any kind of addiction at all.
I'm sure you said something anti-somebody in class.
Yeah, that would be great.
Like anti-cat or whatever.
And just, you know, threaten to expose him if he doesn't write the letters. It's a good way to go, mm-hmm. I think.
I don't know, it's all about motivation. You got to motivate him somehow. Start, baking him dinner. Make a dinner, show up at his house around 6:30, around when he might be eating it. And the first couple days, he'll be like, oh, that's really nice. And keep on doing it. He'll find it really creepy, but he can't get mad at you because it's a really nice thing to do. So eventually your professor is going to feel obligated to you because you're doing this really nice thing for him. But he's going to want you out of town because, let's face it, that's freaking creepy.
Yeah.
Or for him to write the letter.
You could take a cue from the hit movie Misery and wait for the oncoming snowstorm when he crashes. Go save him. Then tie him up in a bed, break his knees with a sledgehammer. He'll have nothing better to do than write.
Yes. And speaking of the snowstorm, all of you hanging upside down from highway overpasses listening to our show, because I know that's supposedly the best way to listen to our show.
This is you, and this means you vampires who are hanging out.
Yeah,
I know you're there.
I want to say there is supposedly some negative weather coming on the way, and get indoors.
Negative weather, that means there actually will be no weather.
Yeah. The icicles might form around you, and then it's hard to fly away.
Advice shout-out number two is the second phone call we just had. Ian called and said, started out his conversation with, "You talk too much."
Right.
He said he and his friends are in his friend's basement, mm-hmm. which I take to be his friend's parents' basement because, you know, we know our demographic. And they're playing Fireball Island. Possibly,
oh, yes.
What they said is possibly the greatest board game ever made, which I have to agree. Fireball
may possibly
Island.
Be right.
Although, as far as board games go, although it's not technically a board game, I'm a big fan of crossbows and catapults. Anything where it's like you fling things at each other and try to hurt each other.
Those games are fantastic for exactly 2 weeks until you lose half the pieces. And then it's like, the one guy is going to go across the stream and then I'm going to roll the one ball at him. I don't have any dice left. There's too many pieces for children.
But he said, so we talk too much and they're doing that and we're making the hot chick mad.
The hot chick.
So the hot chick's name is Melissa. So
they've got a hot
and that was
chick.
It. Then he said, "Thank you very much. You're doing a good job. Bye."
That is an untold advancement in the art of playing Fireball Island. He's having a hot chick.
Well, that's,
hot
that's, chick. That's the 25th anniversary edition. It comes with a
might hot she chick. Be the fireball?
So I think what we need to do is to placate the hot chick.
Yeah, dude.
And you know, make sure that someone ends up on a futon with someone.
Okay.
By the end of the evening. Because
that's what goes on in Ian's Island. Basement. He
so
knows.
My first thing is, why not institute a policy of strip file or Fireball Island? There's gotta be, you know, there's gotta be some rules where you can, like, if something happens, you have to take off a piece of clothing.
It's like, ooh, my shirt got burned off with the fireball.
Ooh, look at that. Oh, my pants. I accidentally fell out of my pants.
And the hot chick's like, oh, I'm out. No, actually, that one just burned off your pants. It didn't burn you, luckily. You had, you know, flammable pants on, though. Drop them.
That's my idea. Maybe strip fireball. Anybody else got an idea?
The other thing about talking too much, this is what it's like when we don't talk too much. Is that fun? Does that get your hot chick into the futon? Okay. What do you want?
He
wants us to play some more Marvin Gaye.
So, I was just thinking that. Mark?
Yes.
Being that Troopy is not here, mm-hmm. and being that you do have, actually, even when he is here, a much stronger back. Would you like to lay down a little, fly on the, you know, on the off the cuff, not mm-hmm. on the cuff, a little off the cuff, you know, sweet talk into the fly mama? Just Melissa, close your eyes and pretend Ian is speaking these words to you, okay? And this should make you feel better.
All right, lay down something for me.
Girl, I think you see my little blue plastic man crossing that bridge. You see his carefully sculpted figures as if he's got a backpack, got some arms, got a little face looking for the fireball that is you. Girl, you may notice that my little blue plastic man who is now crossing a bridge is carrying that backpack and not wincing. That is because his back is immensely strong.
Gonna freak with you.
Baby, you may notice that
parents
my little blue plastic man
gonna
is crossing that bridge without the slightest bit of fear.
Island.
Girl, you are the jewel. You are
some,
the fireball.
Baby.
You lie at the top of the mountain for me. So won't you come on down? Why don't you ride that liver right down to my little blue plastic man? Let me come alive. Let my carefully sculpted tiny blue features come alive up off this platform and make some magic between the two of us with that jewel. Fall down onto my bridge of love.
But I'm not that kind of guy.
So, Ian, if you want to, during the next musical break, please wait. Call and let us know what mood Melissa's in now. You know, if she's all...
Ian's not going to be making any phone calls for at least 6 or 7 minutes. You know what I'm saying?
But, you know, please call. Or if you can get Melissa to call us and let us know how that works. Because we're thinking about bottling that.
Because if we could do that on a regular basis to a mass public...
Along those lines,
wait.
The single worst game to play while you are trying to get involved with a hot chick, I think, that has ever been made is Candyland.
Yeah.
Just the phenomenally disturbing implications of Candyland that, at least in my life, really destroy any chance I would have.
You know what works well, though, is Monopoly. Because yes. You can just buy all the properties and be like, I'll tell you what, I'll give you a hotel if you be my hoe.
Mm-hmm. And it's, yeah.
And they're like, oh, you're so sweet. Okay.
What's your name?
And then you can send them to jail if they're bad.
Okay. Take your Baltic Avenue deed and plaster it to your forehead. Yes. Just kind of know that, you know.
You're like, I got your hotel.
You a low rider.
Like, I got Mediterranean right here.
Give it up.
We'll try to find
so,
out.
So we're waiting for Eric to get off the phone on this call.
Yeah, we're totally violating the rules of phone calls here, but hey.
Suckers.
We swing loose on what jail's
suckers
like.
Suckers be calling while we on the air.
But we getting a lot of phone calls tonight.
Well, that's good.
Don't sound so excited.
I mean, but
it happens all the time.
All eight of you people. Wow.
So, yeah, what's so, yeah, just let us know during the next musical break, Ian, how that whole thing's working out for you.
Okay, what's going on with that?
The last phone call was Isaac. He said he's stuck. He's trying to think of a song. Is it Harold Isley? What's his name? Isley.
The Isley Brothers?
Well, some Isley.
Yeah.
Sings on it. Featured. He thinks it's called something about baby. And he told me. I'm forgotten now because I'm
okay. You know,
but he wants to know if we know what song it is. And I can tell you this. I think we can tell you what song it isn't. We can kind of narrow down the field for you.
Yeah,
and you can do some research. It isn't Let's Hear It for the Boy.
It isn't Stab a Baby.
No. No.
And I don't think it's Put a Baby in a Blender.
I don't think it's
I
Stab People by the ICP.
Yeah. Not Opposites Attract by Paula Abdul.
No. It's not We Got the Beat by the Go-Go's, I don't think.
Yeah, and you can rule that right off.
Most likely not Feed the World, the 80s Christmas rock song.
Although it may be Do They Know It's Christmas After All. So
that's okay. It's the same song. But,
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was doing a lot of drugs.
Yeah, back in the 80s, Mark. Woo!
Now, speaking of that, maybe that was Bob Geldof. Maybe that's, what is it, Don't Like Mondays? Maybe it is.
I think I found a CD here in the WEF Studios called That Isley Guy's Baby Song.
Oh, see, there you go.
Oh, that would be it, then.
Should we cue it up?
Yeah, cue it up.
Okay.
All right.
So there you go.
I hope that
freaked your girl one time.
Yeah, I hope there's a futon in your future, my friend.
We are phenomenal.
All right, we got any more?
We got one more. One phone call that I took was from a girl named Lucy. Lucy was apparently doing a protest at the Krannert Center. And one of the, she didn't say what she was protesting or why she was at the Krannert Center, but Krannert Center, good a place as any to protest, as far as I'm concerned. And she said one of the people she was protesting with was acting like, well, a word that I can't say on the air, but if you start thinking about Pete's green inflamed anus, you're in the right direction.
Okay.
This person was acting like a jerk.
One of those.
Yes.
One of those people.
So Lucy's wondering presumably she should have done, because I'm assuming she's not over there protesting currently.
She's on a cell phone, dude. Protesters have those.
Oh, yeah.
They need to organize.
When they protest against the corporate interests?
Yes. Yeah. Of course. Motorola!
Woo! Nike sucks! Quick, the cops, run away!
Okay.
Because, you know, they could run better, because they're wearing...
So what was the, rectal related person doing?
Yeah, did she say what
that was making?
No, she
did.
She just said that the person was
on the rectal tip.
The person with the sphincter
acting much like that particular body part.
Okay, well, what should first thing is perhaps Metamucil, something that will make the offender more regular,
mm-hmm.
so that they can control that.
Ask that person to stop opening and then contracting when you have to, you know, excrete. Because when you're acting like that, well, it makes folks a little uncomfortable.
Light the person on fire, maybe. I've heard that's really effective. When you, like, light somebody on fire, it really ruins the entire event. And later on, people, you know, just tell people, oh, yeah, he really wanted to martyr himself for the cause. You know, and you'll also have made a really effective protest, I think.
Yeah, and if you're protesting, you could, say you're at Krannert, bring a crowbar and pry some of that fancy wood off the walls. When the police start coming... push said person in front of you and they'll be riddled with bullets.
Or say, probably. He did it.
Yeah.
That's always a good thing. He or she did it.
Yeah, wear one of those tuxedo outfits. You'd be like, stop that, you. Police, go get him. Taken care of, okay?
That's my suggestion.
Because I always protest Craner too.
Oh yeah,
because, stinking place.
Oh, it's you're like taking up
walking around with picket signs. This direction is horrible. Too many sound cues.
Ooh, all flash, no substance. Whoops, did I say that on the air again? Craner sucks.
Anyway,
just the IRT. Theater students. They themselves aren't bad, really.
Okay, so
it's just the productions are bad.
So that should give you some ideas, I suppose. Do we have any really quick shout-outs that we need to do?
No, I don't. I think we handled everybody that's left in Champaign-Urbana. So
yeah, that's really about satisfied it. With the way we dealt with things. Give us a call, 359-9338, if you need anything repeated or you got anything to say.
Ian, we want to know what's up with Melissa. So.
Yes.
Yeah, you might as well get back to us on that.
So give us a call and hang around because public service announcements are coming up next. Yes, the community does continue even after the semester ends. So there are things to do if you're stuck down here over the next week. And I'm going to be partaking in some of them. And perhaps you should too. In the meantime, give us a call, 359-9338.